We'll call this meeting of the Senate Special Committee on the Rail Belt Energy System to order. It's Wednesday, the 12th of February, and it is about 5 minutes after 9. We have Senator Giesel with us, Senator Machicki, Senator Coghill. I think Senator Schauer will be here shortly. No legislators in the audience. Kerry Cooper-Ryder and Brett Mello is managing the electrons over there for us. The Senate Secretary is Kerry, and LIO is Brett. On our agenda today is Senate Bill 123, Act relating to regulation of electric utilities and electric reliability organizations and providing for an effective date. You'll see that we have a CS before us with a kind of a newer title as also. And I'd like to adopt that CS, but before we do that, explain to me a time frame for committee members. How much time before I lose a quorum, basically? You're going to have to leave?
As soon as we adopt.
Okay. All right, so let's do it. I actually have Peter Machicki ready to adopt the CS, so Peter, will you go ahead and make the motion for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the committee adopt CS31-LS0959-K as our working document.
And I'll object, but I'm going to depend upon Kerry to remind me that I objected while we hear the changes in it. And we have to bring the changes before us, Rena Miller, who will discuss this new CS to us and then remind me to remove my objections. So thank you, Madam President. Rena, put yourself on the record and explain the changes in this new draft that is under objection at this point. I'm reminding myself.
Thank you, Chairman. Senator Coghill, for the record, Rena Miller, staff to Senator Giesel, on loan to the Special Committee for the purposes of Senate Bill 123. You have before you a document called Work Draft Version K. That is the CS that has been adopted with objection. And I have a summary of changes that you should have before you as well. We'll walk through those.
Thank you.
Throughout the bill, in many places throughout the bill, we changed references to bulk power system to make it interconnected bulk electric system.
Yeah, I see that.
And I have a typo here.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. I apologize. We changed references to bulk power system and interconnected bulk power system so that all of those references became interconnected bulk electric system. There was a preference from the utilities that it was an electric and not a power system. And then we realized the interconnected was important to add to that definition as well.
So, Rena, wasn't that also true that that's how RCA reads generally their issue as a power electric system rather than a power system?
Certainly, Mr. Chair.
All right. Please continue.
So moving on, page 1, lines 1 through 5, at the chairman's request, our drafters drafted a more descriptive title. On page 1, line 11, we changed the word certified to certificated, just to conform with other RCA statutes. On page 1, line 11, through to page 2, line 1, we added a provision that specifies that a group of utilities, all of which are exempt as municipal entities or political subdivisions of the state, are exempt from the requirement to participate in an ERO. While this was added here, the chairman is aware that we will, before the bill moves from committee, look to an amendment to move that into a more proper location in the bill, that instead of addressing the requirement of utilities to participate, addresses the requirement to actually have an ERO. Right.
Right. So we will have our drafters put that in a proper spot.
Absolutely. Continuing on to page 2, line 4 and line 5, again, we have instances of certify that we have changed to certificate. On page 2, lines 7 to 8, we restructured to create little c to break this up a little bit. On page 2, line 24, we changed is governed by a board to be governed by a board to conform with that new structure of C. On page 3, lines 2 to 4, we added a requirement for the RCA once the regulations are written and they're open for business to receive ERO applications to immediately notify the interconnected load-serving entities within that network that the clock has started for them to apply as an ERO. On page 3, line 5, we added and certificate. So the commission shall form and certificate an ERO if no one has applied within a certain time frame. Page 3, lines 7 through 12 are the new timelines for that application. So if nobody has applied to be the ERO within 90 days after the commission notifies that they're open for applications, then the RCA needs to form an ERO for that system. Or if no one has been certified as the ERO within 270 days after the notice has gone out that applications are open, then the commission needs to form an ERO.
Senator McShakey has a question. Rena.
Rena, what starts the date requiring the notification by the commission? I'm sorry, is that just the date of the effective date of this bill?
Senator McShakey, through the chair, yes.
Okay, thank you.
So continuing on page 3, lines 13 through 17, this is a new provision that creates a process for the RCA to waive the requirement for a given network to have an ERO. All of those load-serving entities within the system would have to petition the commission and explain why they don't believe it's necessary for that network, because we can't foresee every potential situation in the state of Alaska 10 or 20 years from now. We wanted to make sure there was that opportunity for the RCA to not require an ERO if the circumstances of a particular network did not warrant it. On page 3, lines 21 through 22, we have added an emphasis that where all users, owners, and operators of this interconnected system have to comply with the reliability standards, we've made it clear that that includes users, owners, and operators that are otherwise exempt from regulation under this chapter, which is 4205 Public Utilities Regulation. This ensures that even if you have an exemption from that regulation, you still have to comply with the standards if you're connected with the system. Page 3, line 24, we changed the word adopted to approved to conform. We did that in two citations there. On page 3, line 27, we made a technical change to the structure of G to kind of break out what the standards may provide for. Continuing on bill page 4, lines 2 to 3, this is new and was discussed at the last meeting. We have said that standards may not be designed for the purposes of requiring enlargements to facilities or construction of new capacity. On page 4, line 5, we added that the commission must give both public notice and a hearing before acting on a reliability standard that was approved by the ERO. We also clarified that they can approve or reject. On page 4, lines 9 through 16, this lays out the new process that the RCA has to use when they're modifying a standard. The RCA needs to give the ERO that opportunity to modify a standard, but the RCA retains that ultimate ability to modify a standard.
This goes to the question of given the Electric Reliability Organization enough authority to propose, but it retains the authority for the RCA to say, it's not ready for prime time yet, but it also kept RCA from modifying it before. So this created a process where they had to finally come to an agreement, and RCA gets a final say on it, basically.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. It was important, particularly to the utilities, that there was at least that opportunity for the back and forth for them to modify the standard. Absolutely. On page 4, line 16, there is a sentence that was deleted. The sentence basically said that a proposed standard or modification takes effect upon approval by the RCA. That was redundant to existing statute tariff provisions that this kind of mimics and could have created confusion, so we removed that. Moving on to page 5, lines 4 to 5. Again, we did discuss this at the last meeting. It clarifies that penalties imposed by the ERO can be appealed to and reviewed by the commission, but that penalties imposed by the commission don't get reviewed by the commission. That would be redundant. And also in that same instance, or related to that, on line 11, we've just relettered those to conform. On page 6, line 1, we removed a provision that said that the regulations that the RCA adopts related to the ERO may include a requirement that the ERO obtain a CPCN, a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity. We removed that because they are already required to have a CPCN under this legislation. On page 6, line 7, we changed each participating electric entity to each participating load-serving entity. On page 6, line 9, we are now into the integrated resource planning section. We deleted, previously it said that an ERO shall prepare and file. With the RCA, we took out prepare as unnecessary. And we've also specified the mechanism by which they send an integrated resource plan to the RCA for approval. It will be in a petition for approval. On page 6, line 11, the CS removed the most cost-effective manner and instead put in language that the plan needs to meet reliability requirements of customers in a manner that provides the greatest value. Page 6, line 15. The plan is now going to also consider battery storage.
Senator Machiki, question on that?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, this does not affect projects that are already in process. This would be all future projects once the ERO is formed. And
Senator Machiki, through the chair, this section is on integrated resource planning and what the plan would include. The plan is not something that the ERO would even get started on until the ERO has applied and been certified by the commission. It's a little ways out there. You may be also thinking about the project pre-approval requirement. The project pre-approval requirement goes into effect when the bill takes effect, which, per the effective date on the last page, is July 1, 2020. I'm sorry, 2021. There's provisions in here that between the effective date of the bill and the time that an IRP is accepted by the commission needs to write regulations addressing how projects undertaken within that time frame are handled.
Thank you.
Absolutely. On page 6, line 17, we changed at the lowest cost to in a manner that provides the greatest value. On page 6, line 18, after new facilities, we added or conservation activities. This conforms to the items that need to be considered in the plan. Page 6, line 19, we added public before notice. Page 6, line 20, we changed submitted to filed. Page 6, lines 21 to 31 are important. This is a new process that was discussed at the last meeting for the RCA's handling of a petition to approve an integrated resource plan. So the RCA will have 45 days after receiving a properly filed plan to act. They can approve the plan or they can open a docket for investigation. This also provides that if the RCA wants to modify part of an integrated resource plan, similar to the procedures for modifying standards, they need to return that plan to the ERO first for those changes before using that ultimate backstop of modifying it themselves. Moving on to page 7, line 10, we add that the regulations that the commission adopts related to the integrated resource plans need to include criteria for determining cost effectiveness and greatest value. Page 7, line 24, we change the most cost effective manner to a cost effective manner. Page 7, lines 29 to 30, clarifies that refurbishments and capitalized maintenance are not subject to the requirement of pre-approval. Page 7, line 31 through page 8, line 6, requires the RCA to adopt regulations related specifically to project pre-approval that will include defining refurbishment and capitalized maintenance, maintaining municipal jurisdiction over local planning decisions, and again, as we just spoke, addressing how projects that are undertaken in that gap period will be handled by the commission. Page 8, line 11, we break apart above ground and submarine high voltage transmission lines by adding above ground. On page 8, line 13, we require pre-approval for these above ground lines that are longer than 10 miles. It was previously 5 miles. Page 8, lines 14 to 16 are new. These also require project pre-approval for a high-voltage underground or submarine cable that is longer than 3 miles and has a capacity of 69 kV or more. On page 8, lines 17 through 22, we add to the projects that are going to have to be pre-approved energy storage devices and reactive compensation devices. Again, this was at the request of the utilities. The definitions, on page 8, line 30, we change certified to certificated, again, to just conform to general RCA statutes. On page 9, line 2, this is where we have the former bulk power system term that is now the interconnected bulk electric system. We also re-alphabetized the list of defined terms, so it's adjusted its place in line. On page 9, line 4, we change interconnected utilities to interconnected load-serving entities. On page 9, line 20, we update the date by which the RCA needs to adopt regulations from July 1, 2020 to July 1, 2021. And on line 25, we update the effective date of the bill from July 1, 2020 to July 1, 2021. It's a summary of the changes, Mr. Chairman, and your objection is there.
At this point, I can't remove my objection because I don't have a quorum, but we'll hold this over to the next meeting. But I wanted people to hear what we have before us, and the process I think that we can move forward with on this, Mr. Senator Michicki, is we will have this before us for public comment on Friday. We'll entertain some amendments. I have the one, as you can see, we're going to move the page 1 requirement to a more appropriate spot based on our drafting. I may have a couple of small other amendments, just clean up. But what we've been doing is we've been talking to our utilities, our independent power producers. We've been talking to those independent groups that will be a part of the ERO, and we've been talking to the RCA to make sure that these actually conform to the way things are talked about, the actual technical language, plus trying to make sure that as we move forward, the what to do, not the how to do, these things are kind of kept as clean as we can. We've given some pretty interesting directives in here, but a lot of it is the what ifs that utilities have brought to us, or the RCA or independent power producers have brought to us some questions that I think if we settle them in statute, then the RCA has clear direction. And so we're still open to discussion on that, and we'll remain that way through Friday. What I'm hoping to do is to get those, what I would consider the last details, cleaned up and then try to move it out the following week.
Question.
Senator Michicki.
For you, Arena. So page 3F, line 13 through 17. That's an interesting addition. So essentially what you're saying there is if all of the utilities agree to some other form with as a sort of group entity and unanimously decide to go in a different direction, they have the right to petition the commission for an exemption from this bill, essentially.
Senator Michicki, through the chair, they have, yes, to waive the need for an ERO. Mm-hmm. Project pre-approval would still apply. The RCA, by requiring an ERO, when you have a network with multiple components, suddenly it becomes a question as to who is in charge of reliability, who's the one deciding what the standards are, who's bought into having uniform standards amongst everyone working within that network. If there is a network in the future where that's very clear and understood, there may be a circumstance in which there's not the clear benefit as to requiring the formation of an ERO. Perhaps they have a different working arrangement. It's trying to account for, again, those future circumstances that may exist mm-hmm. in the state of Alaska.
Okay, thank you.
A lot of that is trying to allow for new production to come in, whether it's under a independent power producer or another load provider that may be a part of a utility. Once they enter in, what are the rules to play by, basically? And so that's why that was added. There are significant issues that are coming our way, whether it's on the eastern side of Alaska, the southeastern side of Alaska, or western Alaska. So we're just trying to make some room for that, best of my knowledge. But this is still primarily dealing with the rail belt. But it is direction to RCA. What have I forgot to put on the record, Rena? Anything? Because I'm supposed to be in another committee, I didn't want to open up a bunch of public testimony at this point. I just wanted to lay this on the table. And if both Rena Miller and Senator Michicki will remind me that we have yet to adopt this when we next have a quorum, which should be Friday morning, right? I just wanted it before us. For those who are concerned, this is the document that we'll start with. I know there's going to be at least one modification for the section on page 1, line 11 through, I think 11 through page 2, line 1, just to put it in the right place. Same language, just it'll be in a better location.
Mr. Chairman, similar language, different location. We're fine-tuning a couple of provisions. And again, as you said, taking feedback from those stakeholders that will have direct impact by this legislation, fielding that feedback and taking it to the chair and the committee. So.
All right. Well, with that, what we're going to do is hold this in the place that it's at for the next meeting, and we'll continue. My expectation is if we have an amendment, we'll take the amendment. If it's I think that's probably the best way to take it. So, and then we'll open up for public comment on Friday, and we'll try to get all stakeholders to either chime in Friday or the following meeting. So, but we'll try to do as much as we can on Friday. All right?
Mr. Chairman, I would love to hear from utilities on Friday after this is sort of laid on the table for a yep. couple of days, and I will certainly be encouraging all of them to participate. Like to know that we sort of have the right mix, and I believe I support a lot of the improvements that are in this version. I think some are incredibly important, and I think were gaps in the previous version. So would love to hear from them on.
So just for the information for those listening in, we did make this version available on BASIS, mm-hmm. and we have given it to those that we've talked to, our stakeholders. So RCA, utility groups, those independent groups, independent power producers, have all already been notified and sent a copy of it. So they are now doing the same thing we're doing, looking at it line by line. So, but we'll look forward to that comment on Friday. With that, we're adjourned.